Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. My name is Paul Booth, and before we bring our guest in today, just wanted to give a brief introduction. We'll be joined by cinematographer Mr. Paul Cameron, ASC. You guys will know his work from Collateral, Pirates 5, Man on Fire, Deja Vu, all those wonderful Tony Scott films. Rest in peace. Welcome, Mr. Cameron. How are you today?
Good. Hi, Paul. How are you? Good to be here.
I'm fantastic. I'm doing very well. Thank you. So today, for the audience, we're here to talk about The Commuter, which comes out in January with Liam Neeson. And just a brief log line from basically a businessman on his way home for the audience, gets caught up in a criminal conspiracy. You guys can check out, there's a cool trailer on YouTube, and it's got a great cast. Looking at the cast, the first question that I had for you, I was, because of course Liam Neeson and Miss Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who I think is fantastic, whether he's playing a small role in young adult or something massive like Angels in America. Cinematographers or photographers have told me they can get a great inspiration from landscape or we'll talk about effects and the way a lot of your movies have shots that push the envelope in some way. Is there something you could say about the way maybe an actor's eyes can give you that same lighting inspiration that normally someone would think it has to be this great vista across the valley, but it's like, you're like, her eyes are going to give me this inspiration I need for this.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, listen, it's, you have concepts about how to light people and how to light a scene. And, you know, suddenly they walk in and, you know, most good actors kind of light up, you know, naturally as people, and they become kind of a landscape of the frame once they enter the frame, so it, you know, kind of changes a bit. But it's, you know, listen, Liam is a quite the actor and a big screen actor, as we know, and he's you know, part of the group of great actors that you can shoot in extreme close ups, and the same holds true for Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. So, you know, it does they do become the landscape of the frame when they walk into it.
Do you have I always wonder how cinematographers separate if you have an image that you really love of an actor, completely getting it out of your brain to know that you have to specifically capture him for this moment. Let's just say Liam Neeson, he has so many iconic images. Do you completely stay away from looking at other images of him, or do you kind of try to, you have to study some features? I'm always interested in that.
Well, I think it's, you know, for sure, you know, you kind of, you know these actors, and like you said, you know the iconic images that they've been in, and, you know, like everybody else, they change, you know, they get older, they get younger, they're different every movie they're in, and that's the interesting thing to me is, you know, when you know, meet somebody like Liam, I already started looking at, you know, at the kind of physique and face and kind of how to, you know, how am I going to approach bringing that architecture of the face and the eyes out, you know, and that's a big thing of, you know, even somebody like Vera Farmiga, or, you know, quite a beautiful actress and beautiful woman, and, you know, it's you know, you kind of have to do this process of lighting and kind of pulling it out to make sure you're bringing out the best features of an actor, you know, hopefully it's dramatically, you know, for whatever reasons. But, you know, it's a touchy thing because, you know, you jump into a film, and often, you know, even in the case of The Commuter, Vera Farmiga, you know, had a short run in the film, and you don't get time to get familiar you know, with them photographically. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure when they walk on set the first time. We usually, you know, maybe tested them. In this case, we didn't do any tests with Vera whatsoever. So you're lighting a scene on, you know, in this case on a train, and it's her big scene with Liam on the train in the tunnel, and, you know, she sits down and the AD wants to start rolling the camera. And of course, with a cinematographer, you have to kind of politely take the ball and sculpt the light just a little bit to bring out the face and the eyes and kind of, make her, the landscape of her face appear the way you want it on the screen. You know? So it's tricky.
Now, just so the audience knows, we're not into ourselves at the show, but I did not see this film, so I just want to make sure the audience knows that it wasn't like I didn't do my research or pay attention as I go through some of these questions. As I said, this is set for a January release. The trailer is really fantastic, and again, I want to say that on this show, I don't tell any guests anything they want to hear, so everything is on the straight up. I noticed as I went through your filmography, and this can apply to The Commuter as well, that there's always a shot, excuse me, whether it's Swordfish, whether it's how perfect L.A. was captured in Collateral, the stunts in Gone in 60 Seconds, or some of the technology that you did for Pirates 5. Okay, so this isn't like how we get actors saying a happy accident, I didn't think the scene was going to be that great, or the director didn't expect to be breaking down at the monitor. How, as a cinematographer, you're obviously looking to push the envelope, but do you kind of get these moments in the script, or is there kind of like, because your films are, I've been a fan of your films before this interview came up, and that was always something that stuck out with me that oh, you're welcome, that there's a shot or a moment. So are you, when you're evaluating, are you looking for, I want to have a place here, this is my chance to have a stamp, or there's at least going to be something I get to push?
Well, I think, you know, be honest about that, you know, when I'm reading a script, I'm not looking for anything there, you know, to kind of pull out and, you know, to make unique or anything in terms of a signature shot, but, you know, things do kind of evolve and, you know, they're, you know, for me, it's about coming up with an interesting way of showing something that maybe we haven't seen, you know, before, you know, like a frozen moment camera from Swordfish, although we saw frozen moment camera. You know, I designed a system that, you know, basically ended up being 600 still cameras and went through walls and went through cars. And, you know, it was quite complex compared to what we'd seen before to extend this kind of, you know, how do I extend basically a half a second of time, you know, over a minute. So, you know, that kind of evolved one way, you know, and it's happened to me in films at various times, you know, and specifically in The Commuter. There's just one moment in The Commuter where basically Liam's on a train. He's kind of agreed to find someone on the train, and the camera pulls back, and it pulls back through, you know, 12 train cars, you know, and pulls up and out and goes, you know, up and over as the train pulls away and, you know, on the train track. So, you know, it was an idea that I came up with Gemma Collette-Serra, the director, and just said, well, you know, how do you want to show that? I mean, you know, we are about to show him walking through the train and his point of view and the whole thing, but how do we show the experience of, you know, this massively long train with, you know, hundreds of people on the train, and, you know, how do we do that in about 5 seconds? So, you know, I came up with a shot, and it did, you know, it took time to do. So luckily, directors and producers kind of can see the merit of a shot like that and agree to do it. And, you know, I think when you see it in the film, it's got some impact.
Well, was this, and of course we never ask and talk budgets, but there's obviously a difference in television, a film like The Commuter, which I love the trailer because I can pick up on kind of the, it feels like a not a specifically just noir, but mystery, and then also kind of made me think of that old Hitchcock film, The Lady Vanishes. And then you have Pirates, which obviously anyone says Pirates, they know the budget is obviously very different than other films.
Sure.
How was this evolution for you to go from a TV show, and congratulations on the Emmy nomination for Westworld?
Oh,
very welcome. To a really big budget, to The Commuter. How does the cinematographer's brain transition through that?
Well, you know, again, Paul, it's unfortunately reading something, you know, as a cinematographer, it's, you know, the first thing I do is just try to be honest to mm-hmm. what's the content of, you know, the script that I'm reading, and then, you know, certainly kind of begin to vibe it out and see, you know, creatively what the potential is. And, you know, the restraints on a, you know, a smaller budget compared to a larger budget, you know, it's a very thin line. Somehow, you know, even on a big budget film like Pirates, it seems to, like, flex itself on such a level in ways that I don't even see, you know, where massive amounts of money are being spent. But when it comes down to, you know, production time and production money is not all that different. You know, production day certainly costs a lot more in a film like Pirates than The Commuter or Westworld. But, you know, listen, Westworld, we were very fortunate. It was HBO and Warner Brothers supported the pilot for that, and it was a good budget, for that pilot. And they've gone on to, you know, do, you know, almost finishing their second season now, and they've got a good budget to do that. And I think the material reflects it. You know, The Commuter was a challenge because, you know, we'll see, you know, I don't remember exactly the budget, but I know it's, I don't think it was more than $20-25 million for production or something, which is very little for a film like that with some visual effects and, quite a bit of comping. But, you know, you just kind of find your way with the limitations. You know, I like to be very honest with producers and find out, you know, what we can kind of stomach across the board, you know, crew size and rigging size, and, you know, where can we, you know, get a little extra equipment and people for a sequence that a director really wants to embellish more than another. So it's my job to kind of help move that around. And, you know, I kind of believe as a cinematographer, you know, kind of transparency is the best thing. And you kind of, you know, you got to think of everything first creatively and then kind of, you know, physically be responsible for executing it. So, you know, it's a fine line for sure.
And what was the Commuter shot on?
We filmed The Commuter on Alexa Minis. We did open gate Arri RAW, and I used a set of the Arri Master Primes from Arri London, and had some coatings removed and lens coatings removed on them, and a couple of different coatings tweaked here and there to give a particular kind of softness to the contrast level in the film, and it worked out very well. You know, I mean, you see even in the trailer, there's quite a few shots where the camera's moving, it's moving over seats, it's kind of chasing Liam up and down, and, you know, I decided to go with a very small camera system, and I built an interior rail system for the train. I mean, basically, we had a train plus a small section of another train, and that's it. You know, would redress various trains for different reasons. But, you know, I was able to move the camera up and down with this kind of automated winch system I designed. And it had a pan tilt stabilized head called a stabilized head, and I added this Z axis where there was an arm that you could drop the camera down and actually, you know, wrap around 360, wrap around a character. So, you know, I think we found innovative ways, and we shot a lot of handheld, but we found innovative ways to move the camera through the train, and it was quite, you know, the system worked quite well, and it was automated, or you could use it manually, and it really saved us on the train.
Well, I think, and just speaking to effects and how intricate that was, what you just explained, well, to non technical background. I always think of when I saw that it was a, when the trailer came on and it was a train, I think of that just cheesy effect shot of Harrison Ford jumping off the train in The Fugitive and how it just seemed so real. And so, and when I go back and watch it now, it's like it, I fall out of the movie for like 10 seconds, even though it's one of my favorites. Even though it's obviously a never ending debate, for the Commuter or any of your other films, do you feel that visual effects, obviously coming from Pirates to The Commuter, do you think sometimes it, your opinion as a cinematographer about other cinematographers, do you think that sometimes it makes it easier or harder, meaning that they don't have to learn some of the Hard Knocks way, they can learn the computer way and create the shot versus getting the shot?
You know, I think what we're seeing, Paul, is, you know, on the screen, we're seeing kind of, you know, the result of visual effects that are executed more efficiently now and certainly more seamless visually. You know, the approach with green screens can change. You know, in a movie like Pirates, we have vast amounts of green screens. Certainly The Commuter, you've got a picture, a train car, and a stage completely surrounded in blue screen for all the principal photography, pretty much. So, you know, it's different. It's different on one hand, you know, but you know, I think every cinematographer is different approaching the visual effects thing, and you know, I mean, I can see it might be daunting for younger DPs now, and you know, because there is so much visual effects in so many movies and the need for, you know, vast blue screens, et cetera. But, you know, I kind of approach it a different way. You know, it's like even on Pirates, although, you know, with the methodology change from shooting it all on water to basically shooting it all on land, that was a big change. You know, when I started The Commuter, I knew, you know, the hardest thing, you know, the scariest thing for me on The Commuter, I think, was, like, how are we going to, you know, how am I going to light these shots, you know, based on, you know, a transition from late afternoon to dusk to night on a moving train and give that and suspend that disbelief for, I think in the film it's a little over an hour, the whole final sequence of Liam on the train. So, you know, my approach was like, you know, I called the producers and director and I said, listen, I want to go ride the trains that the story's based on, which I did, went to New York and rode the trains and went with my wife, Laura Stabellini, and a couple of 5D cameras. And we photographed, you know, basically just examples of what's outside the window and kind of light effects that were happening on the train. And, you know, I had to make some very big decisions, you know, based on some reference material of, you know, installing a light rig to give this feeling of, you know, sunlight going through, you know, dappled trees and, you know, passing buildings and going under bridges. And, you know, actually the sequence starts, you know, underground in New York City from Grand Central. So the first part of the train ride is, you know, basically being in a subway in New York before it bursts out at 125th Street. So, you know, I had to design all the light cues for the tunnel and then, you know, bursting out of the tunnel and then low sun and then going into dusk and going into night. So, you know, you'd think with all the experience I have with visual effects and everything that, you know, it wouldn't be as daunting, but it is because, you know, I feel so responsible for everything in a frame, including what's done, you know, visual effects wise, you know. So, you know, at the end of the movie, fortunately, I was able to shoot some of the train tunnel plates and some of the exterior plates, but there was an accident on the New Jersey Transit, so our principal photography day for plates, that was canceled, and, you know, went back and they grabbed some plates later that I couldn't do. But, you know, to show you, it's like I scheduled the plate days as principal photography so I could be there and do them, and to me that's very important. But, you know, now that I've color timed the film and went through the comps, I think they've done, you know, a very good job. I mean, you know, of course, there's a few moments that don't line up exactly right. But, you'll see the vibe of the tunnel and coming out in the late afternoon. I think, we kind of, emulated a lighting, with a lighting rig, we emulated the light very well to make it seem as real on one level and also kind of enhance it, be able to kind of embellish and enhance light cues for dramatic reasons as well. So I think it worked out.
Well, that sounds very interesting that you got to take those train rides and shoot some stuff. I heard, I don't know if it was just in a book documentary, that to shoot Easy Rider, Laszlo Kovacs took a bus around the country, and that's why it's so brilliantly on par. That must have been an interesting and different era and time to just be riding around on a
No,
bus.
that's about being real, and I think that's the important thing, and that's what I encourage, a lot of younger cinematographers, it's like, it's on the paper, and chances are you can figure it out in real light and go figure it out and put yourself in a position to see what that light feels like, what that reality feels like, It is very different being, in a desert in New Mexico or a forest, in Northern California or something like that. And, light is different and how it goes through, bounces off of buildings or slices through trees is very different. And, getting a feel for what's true to something dramatically is very important,
So I see here that you have, I also like to know what any guests, kind of what some influences are. Looking at your work, looking at some of your work, other in the Land of Women, it would seem like you really dig on action. Are you what you like and are influenced by as a person and just a film lover when you're sitting at home? Do you like to keep that fairly close to what you're working on, or are you a guy that just like you love rom-coms, but you're awesome at shooting action films? I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, I think I, listen, I've shot a few action films and, other films as well, and I don't really, I don't think of it in those terms. Fortunately, most of the action films I did were with Tony Scott and early on with Dom Senna, and I, they were quite unique and different at the time, and, we've kind of been bombarded with that kind of action film reality for the last, 2 decades, kind of. And it's not changing, but when I sit at home, I watch more dramatic films for sure. And I'm trying to do more dramatic films in my career, and very interested in doing them because I, I'm much more interested in story and kind of the evolution of dramatic situations. It's been great to shoot some of the action stuff because it's high energy and it's challenging and it's there's a lot going on, multiple units at times, and there's a lot of responsibility. But it was also very nice to sit on a train, train set in London, a little over a year ago, with one camera going up and down the train and the interior of the train, and just being able to focus on that. And I mean, there are action aspects to you'll see in The Commuter for sure, although it's predominantly a thriller, but.
Well, yeah, I liked the in the trailer, just seeing how many genres that you could feel just from. I mean, obviously, there's only so many shots in a trailer. I do recommend to audience. It surprises me that we're actually far enough along that I'm only 38, but I meet people where you say you just discuss a film where you don't think it's 20 or 25 years old, like Shawshank Redemption, and someone says they haven't seen it, and you think they're from Mars that they haven't seen Shawshank Redemption. So I do want to just note real quickly here that and all listeners, please find Man on Fire. It is on Prime for a couple of dollars to rent, mainly because, of course, Denzel's great, but it's Dakota Fanning. She is a great actress, but it was just great. And to see a child actress holding their own with Denzel is something that I try to make sure that people check this out. And Collateral is also kind of, if you've never been to LA and you want to see LA, check that film out. Now, for The Commuter, How long was this, whatever you can speak to, like how long was this in development? How long did it take to shoot? What kind of schedule were we with her?
Well, I think the development was rather quickly. Gemma Collette said, the director, I've done a few films with Liam over the last, the previous few years, and they have a very good rapport, and they've been doing these studio films kind of back to back, a little time in between, and I think this film came together rather quickly, and I got a call from Gemma. I hadn't worked with him in a year. I used to work on commercials with him years ago. So it was great to hear from him and have the opportunity to do the film. And I think we, it was a very quick prep, probably six, seven weeks. And we got probably shot it in, under 50 days for sure. So there was a lot of, there's a lot of pressure to shoot it. We were also in London, loved shooting in London. We had a great, great crew there. The only big challenge is, they like to work short days there. They love working 10-hour days, consecutive hours, and it's something that we're all kind of getting used to in the industry right now in some of these markets. But it puts a lot of pressure to, you don't have any overtime and you don't have any room for not making a day. So you got to come up with a plan and execute it very quickly and not get behind. And fortunately, we kept to the schedule, and I think we were pretty tried and true to our finished date, and went very well.
10 hours. I've of course only I was actually a PA on Pirates 4 for the couple of weeks that they shot in Hawaii on my island, mm-hmm. and so when you said 10-hour days, I was thinking like that's the second snack break before you think you still have 5 or 6 more hours. So I've never heard of a 10-hour day. Yeah,
it felt like half days, actually. You're actually driving home when there's light out. I'm like, it's very unusual. But I think, I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, we all work hard in the industry, but, certainly working 16, 17-hour days consecutively is just too much. So hopefully we find a good balance in there. And I won't complain doing a film in London again, that's for sure, because it is quite, quite good having the show. We did it in Australia as well on Pirates. There were quite a few 10-hour days and 12-hour days that, were also really challenging for me because I'm used to working with riggers and having an hour lunch that I can kind of go over my setups for the rest of the day. So when you don't have that and you're just going, it's really hard to kind of catch up some days. And I'm not going to complain with the shorter hours, that's for sure.
Right. Well, yeah, it's for the audience, or if you've never worked on a film, it of course, of all the different positions, obviously everyone works hard and it's a team effort. When you're a production assistant, you don't have any form of a union, and you don't have any form of, literally, you just get lucky if a producer actually cares that you've been there 18 hours. I remember the first gig I ever PA'd, I actually was there 22 and a half hours, and she gave me my call time, and it was two and a half hours later, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a log road if this is how every show that I ever work on is.
Yeah.
I had no clue that it was just a bad show and a bad production coordinator. So I remember being very scared, thinking, why did I go to film school? Now, for the commuter, is there something where, you came home or you had a moment where you were able to think to yourself, had I not done the commuter, I would not have learned this lesson about filmmaking, or it could be about lighting, it could be about anything, just a special lesson you got out of the commuter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, listen, I take something away from everything I do, and usually every day that I do it. So it's, I think the big one on commuter was definitely handling the interior of the train and moving light and trying to make it seem, you know, real and, you know, slightly dramatic at times. And, you know, it's that balance. I mean, it's, you know, you're sitting in a train and you're surrounded by blue outside the train and the lights, you know, flickering away. It's very disturbing when you're looking, you know, you're trying to say, Jesus, it's real. And we weren't doing any kind of live comps, you know, test comps or anything as we went. So, you know, it's a big leap of faith, you know, but when you see it done and you realize, wow, that feels like, you know, you're sitting in a car on a fall day, you know, driving down through, an area with low sun and light going through trees and it's flickering away and it feels real and, you know, there's got some emotional content to the reality of the light, you know. So that's what I take away. And, you know, it's a certain, you know, way you light a face, like we were talking about earlier, how to put a kick on a face or bring out a, you know, a facial feature or a glint in an eye. And those are, you know, you drive home on those days and you think like, geez, I'm glad I made that decision. You know, I think I helped that image, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's excellent. I appreciate you sharing that. That's probably my favorite question to ask guests, is something that comes from a film or that they take with them. There's two final quick questions that we have that we wrap each show with. And the first one is, obviously, you know, you have the perfect script and you have the budget and you have the, you know, the director you want to work with, et cetera. Do you have a dream genre that you would love to do that you haven't gotten to do?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Yeah, probably a nice period film, you know, quite honestly. I haven't done a big period film, so I'd love to do that. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do, you know, kind of sci-fi and thriller and action and drama and comedy. You know, so I really think, you know, a big dramatic period film is something I'd really love to do.
Okay. And the next question is just the opposite. You know, the lights are off. They're going to repossess your car. You haven't eaten in a week and the script's good. So it's not a bad script. The director's fine, but there's no way you're doing that genre. You have no interest.
Well, you know, it's a tough one. I mean, you know, we make decisions for financial reasons, but you know, I think, and you know, what I try to tell everybody across the board is everything you shoot, you know, defines who you are. And you know, the more you do something, the more you become that person who does that genre. So, you know, for me, it's, you know, I don't want to make those decisions in the future based on financial reasons or for kind of propagating myself within a genre or being, you know, continuing to be successful in the genre, but to really be open to whatever comes forward.
Well, that's what I like so much about, from just other ASC members that I met at covering the dinner and attending the dinner or other ones that have been on the show. It's really exciting. Many artists are open, but I just love how each one of you guys that I've spoken with has just had this real openness about, it's just kind of like, we all know the search never ends, and to not be pigeonholed. So that's something that I've really enjoyed about all of you guys and also the camaraderie that you guys have being at the dinners.
Yeah.
And you know, just what the respect that you guys have for your team. And so I'm always telling people it's a very special thing when you see to have respect for those letters when you see them on the screen, because it's more than just a, you know, that it's not a union and it's more than just a bragging right thing, that there's actually this group of artists, I'm not going to say where the clubhouse is, that actually cares and, you know, mentors other filmmakers and cares to spread their knowledge. And so I wanted to commend you for being a part of that because I really, really love the ASC.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thanks. So it's a privilege to be in the ASC. I've been in for a while, currently on the board of governors over there, and it's quite a great experience to, you know, kind of be with a society of, you know, of men and women now, you know, quite a few women that we have in there now, and it's, you know, it's quite a great group, and there's a lot of respect, and it's all about artistry and loyalty and kind of passing on that knowledge and sharing that knowledge amongst ourselves and with the film community. So we appreciate it.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, and one of this, we are separate from the ASC, of course, the show for the audience. But as you know, Mr. Cameron, of course, Richard Crudo he's been so instrumental with advice for this show and helping us get some guests and Meredith and and PR rep Janine. And so we just appreciate all of that. And we appreciate the fun films that you guys give us. And we appreciate that you support shows like ours by coming on.
Great. Well, it's good to be here. And thanks for having me.
Excellent. And you have a wonderful day and take care.
Okay. Bye-bye, Paul. Thanks.
And that was Mr. Paul Cameron. We were discussing The Commuter and cinematography. Very appreciative to do that. I was going to possibly interview him for Pirates 5 and then some scheduling stuff happened on my end. But happy to do that. I have liked the cinematographer for a long time because I love Collateral. I love Man on Fire. I only missed Pirates 5 because of a physical eye condition I have where I can't watch films with too many effects. And again, The Commuter is not out yet, so it wasn't that I didn't do my research. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much. Happy 2018, and go check out The Commuter. January 5th. Aloha.